Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, get ready for passion, perspective, and your chance to react.
It's time for the longest-running postgame show in Milwaukee.
This is the Milwaukee Admirals Baseball Postgame Show, built by Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Now is a great time to order your 2017-2018 season tickets and take all summer to pay. Go to MilwaukeeAdmirals.com for more info.
Now, a baseball guy who tells it like it is. Your fan host, Tim Allen.
Not Tim Allen. What's good, Milwaukee? Bill Schmid along with you. Tim Allen going to join me shortly. It is the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Brewers get an 11-4 victory tonight. Slap the ball all around the yard. Zach Davies able to get his fourth win of the season. Laboring for Davies as he was able to get himself through five innings of four-run baseball tonight. And the Brewers' offense just jumping all over the New York Mets in the fifth inning. An eight-run inning for the Milwaukee Brewers, trailing 4-2 at the time. Neil Walker once again putting a hurting on the New York Mets. But we do have him. He is available. Tim Allen coming out of a, I believe, Hall & Oates concert here or what?
No, I got caught running way. But, you know, my time is just a little dicey here. I was in Madison all day long today, out in the sun, beautiful weather today, watching my son play baseball.
Nice.
Yeah. But how about an eight-run fifth inning? That'll cure you.
No kidding, right? Talk about not having a comeback victory yet.
Well, they come back of sorts here. They were down 3-1 in this one. They were down 4-2 in this one, and then put up a snowman in the fifth inning. And that was amazing tonight. So much for our question last night. So much for our question. Can the offense maintain without Ryan Braun?
Right? No kidding. Able to get all over him, especially the middle of the order, was still able to drive in those runs, which has been huge.
Oh, it's been big time. I mean, you go back to the first inning and the Brewers, you know, they get up a run all after two were out. Perez a double, Shaw base hit, plates that run, and you know they're up one zip. But the Mets, Zach Davies, yeah, you put it right. He labored in this one as they put up a three spot in that second inning. Brewers are down 3-1. They battle back with a run in the second. How about Jonathan Villar, an RBI base hit, 3-2, and you're thinking, boy, as bad as Zach Davies has been. You know, in this one, just to be down 3-2, I think, was sort of a victory right there.
Absolutely, and it was.
Yeah, and they add to it in the top of the fifth. You mentioned Neil Walker, a solo shot. So that was in the fifth inning at 4-2. And it was interesting in the bottom of the fifth inning, and I kind of frowned on Zach Davies with the bat in his hand, and you're down 4-2, and you got a man on and nobody out, and you're thinking, well, what's he doing? Well, he draws the walk, and it really, really opened the floodgates. Broxton, an RBI base hit, makes it 4-3. Then a two-run base hit by Arcia makes it 5-4 Brewers at that time, and they're not done. Aguilar, a two-run double, makes it 7-4. Travis Shaw with a three-run jack, still in the fifth here, an eight-run inning for the Brewers, and they go up 10-4. They add another it later on in the game as Jared Hughes, Barnes, Scahill taking care of the pitching. VR had that final RBI, and that made it 11-4. Hey, the Brewers are now 20-17, the high water mark on the season, and it's an amazing little thing that the Brewers have going on here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of is, and the beat does go on. The beat goes on. And for whatever anybody says about, well, let's see what they do. How about 2 weeks ago when they said, well, let's see what they do when we get to mid-May? Okay? What about those folks that said that? They said, we'll put up a couple more weeks. Let's see if we can get to Mother's Day. How does that sound? Well, here we are tomorrow. It's Mother's Day. They're 20-17 and continue to be right in the middle of this National League Central. Cubs lose again. Someone's got to cool off that Cardinal team.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, and right now, a sole possession of second place in the National League Central. But, Tim, I'm looking at these numbers right here, and as we were just bringing up how good the beat just keeps going on, I stumbled upon this run differential, and the Brewers are fourth in the National League in run differential, tops in the NL Central. And it's going to be hard for them to continue to not be able to get wins out inside this division and out.
Yeah, when you have your run differential, and that's a stat that's starting to grow in popularity. But
absolutely.
You know, they continue to hit some home runs. They continue to spray the ball around. And a well-balanced offense up and down. Look at Broxton. Look where he's hitting half the year. Seventh. Look at Bandy. Bandy and Pena pitching in. I mean, mm-hmm. These guys, there's something to be said about what Craig Counsell's got going in that dugout behind closed doors, in the clubhouse or in that dugout. When the cameras aren't on, when we're not in there, they're a family in there.
Yep.
And it shows right now. Now, again, you're going to have to start getting better pitching. Here again, you got Zach Davies, who has had 91 pitches in the fourth inning today, and I'm saying, I wonder if Brent Suter is headed to the airport yet. Because they literally, and boy, he did scrounge his way through the five innings. But these guys, eventually, I know enough about baseball, man. And eventually, if these guys do not start getting deeper, it's going to come back to bite them and bite them big.
Right.
And as we said the other night, they're one short start away from scramble mode.
And I thought that was coming tonight, Tim. In that third, like, oh man, especially that fourth inning, I didn't even know if he was going to be able to get out of it.
Yeah, it really did look like it. And that was the first and third jam in that fourth inning with one out.
Yep.
He did get out of it, and he muscled his way out. But again, 91 pitches there, and you're thinking, boy, what happens if or when? I mean, I don't know. If one of the Brewers starters goes an inning and a third and just gets lit up, he's going to have to be the sacrificial lamb out there because that bullpen is doing everything they can. It was interesting to note pregame that Corey Knebel was not available again tonight, and I thought it was interesting. Counsell said, well, I don't know why I just told you guys that, but so I might as well just tell him across the diamond that we're minus an arm out there in that pen, but it didn't matter. You put up this many runs, and again, Scahill, saving grace there a little bit with two racks pitched tonight. But you talk about a blended offense. I mean, maybe that's the word for it because you don't know. You would think they put up 11 runs and Eric Thames would be right in the thick of this thing. Maybe Eric Thames is 3-for-4, a couple of home runs, 4 knocked in. It wasn't the case tonight, guys. They did it with Shaw and they did it with Perez and Arcia and Broxton and VR pitching in. This was a well-balanced attack tonight.
And it's always good when you're able to get the bottom of the order on base, which we've been stressing for how long, wanting the pitcher to bat eighth, and allow one of these guys to get on base for this productive top of the order. And you see VR again with two RBIs and showing that he can knock in those runs when guys are in scoring position.
Yeah, and he's needed. He's not only needed to knock in runs for those guys that are getting on, but he's needed to get on base, and so hopefully that can continue. Hey, we'll take you want to just go for a break here,
yeah.
And then we'll come back and we'll check out the happy box score
for sure.
In this one, we'll go inside the box because you're going to want to hear this. 33,849 at Miller Park as the Brewers get an 11-4 victory, Bill.
And we will be right back here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, and the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show.
Let's add this one up, Brewers fans. Time to go inside the box score. Brought to you by Dave & Buster's Wauwatosa. Eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show, built by Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
The Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt in the studio, in our whole Chevrolet studios. And Anthony, Do you know how to change locks by any chance?
Do I know how to change
locks?
Like
the mechanical ones that we have, or the like the computerized ones we have? You know, like the little key knob? Because I think I'm going to change the locks now.
Not a clue.
To keep Tim Allen out of the studios.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his way back from Madison right now. You can bring him on here. But, Timmy, I think I'm going to try to figure out how we can change the locks because I like reading the winning box score.
Yeah, the little key fob there. Yeah, inside the numbers here, we'll go with – they're brought to you by Dave and Buster's in Wauwatosa. Eat, drink, play, watch sports. And 11-4 victory. And, guys, man, this team is 20-17. And the beat goes on. Check out these numbers, Bill.
Jonathan VR, 2-for-5, 2 knocked in. Eric Thames. Brewers were able to get 11 runs with Eric Thames going 0-for-2. Did he on base twice and score a run? Nick Franklin with a pinch hit appearance, taking him out, was 1-for-1. Hernan Perez started in left field, moved into right. He was 1-for-5 with a run scored. Travis Shaw, huge night, 3-for-5. 4 runs batted in. And 2 runs scored. Domingo Santana, 3-for-4 with a run scored and a walk. Jet Bandy, 1-for-5 with 1 knocked in and a couple of Ks. Keon Broxton, Keon Jedi Broxton is how we're going to start announcing him here on the postgame show. He was 2-for-5 with an RBI and a run scored. Orlando Arcia, 1-for-5 with 2 runs scored and 2 knocked in. Zach Davies, 0-for-1 in his appearance. Pitching line, Zach Davies started it out and labored through his 5 innings, gave up 7 hits, 4 runs, all earned, a walk in 2 Ks, threw 101 pitches, just 63 strikes for the Brewers' right-hander, sitting now at a 5.8 ERA. Jared Hughes comes in for the 6th inning, allows 1 hit and Ks up 2, gives up no runs. Jacob Barnes, a clean inning, and Tim, one that Jacob Barnes needed after last night for sure.
Yeah, no, he definitely needed that, and this team and that bullpen right. needed that. That's for sure.
And then we talk about last night, the bullpen needing somebody to come in and eat a couple of innings, and that guy tonight was Rob Scahill. Throws 41 pitches in the 8th and 9th inning, gives up just 2 hits, walks 1 man, but does not allow a run as the Brewers get the 11-4 victory. Brewers get 11 runs on 16 hits, no errors for the crew, and for the New York Metropolitans, 4 runs on 10 hits. And 2 errors. The win goes to Zach Davies. He's now 4-2. And the loss goes to our buddy Robert Gesellman. That's an interesting name, Timmy. Gesellman.
Gosselman.
Gosselman? There's no O. This
is
unreal.
I've heard it both ways.
So you have heard it both ways?
Yeah. Levering said it different than the guys in New York.
I like how they just call I just want to call him G. Salman.
I like that.
And that's what it almost looks like, just with the big capital G. But either way, Robert G. Salmon, a little bit resembling Rami Makhlouf out on the mound. He picks up his 3rd loss of the year. And Tim, the Brewers being able to bat around here tonight, not showing any signs of needing Ryan Braun in that lineup.
No, but they're going to need
going to need him.
And yeah, that's certainly the case here. And I just like the balance that they've got going.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to jump in here, somewhat abbreviated show tonight, but we'll make room for you at 799-1250 if you want to chime in here. But you wonder how long the beat goes on. You really do. And then not to be negative, but I've been fighting that battle since day one.
Yeah, no kidding.
And whether the naysayers will be right, and maybe they will, for crying out loud. Maybe they will. But there's 33,849 at Miller Park tonight, enjoying an 8 spot, putting up a snowman in that 5th inning, and enjoying some Brewers baseball. And you could just tell that there's a little more excitement. Now,
absolutely,
the haters also, guys, will tell you, who have they beat? I really don't care. They could beat the Greenfield Little League team. It wouldn't matter to me. About win's a win, and they're 20-17 at this point. And you got to love it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to love it. They're pitching. Somebody is going to step up here, and I firmly believe that.
Well, and I asked
Zach Davies had been on a roll, Billy. He had been on a roll. His first 3 starts not good. The next 3 starts, really decent.
Yeah, just really struggling to get innings is the biggest part for Zach Davies, not being able to go through the 6th inning in any of his starts early.
Yeah, and that's that bears the problem here. And you're looking at Junior Guerra is going to get his rehab start on Monday, and he's going to get a couple of them. So they've got 10 or so days to figure this out and who's going to step back. Now, maybe the bullpen does get some relief once Guerra is activated. So you could bump either Nelson, Peralta, or Anderson back into that pen. I doubt it'll be Garza. Garza's pitching really well.
Right, and I brought up the conversation today. I was on the Bella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck show here with Sparky and Radio Joe on the round table, and I brought up, is it weird to entertain the fact that Matt Garza is probably the best pitcher on this team right now?
No, I think you have to entertain that idea. You really do, by the looks of the numbers and by the looks of, you know, we continue to hear from Matt Garza the last year plus that you stick with the process and need to grind it out. You know, the only thing you can do is put this one behind you and go back at it again. You know, there may have been something to that, guys, certainly throughout the offseason and early this spring, about him utilizing his off-speed stuff, and namely a changeup. The other night he said he threw more changeups in that outing than he did in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe there was something to those lines. I thought maybe it was 100% lip service. Well, maybe it was. You know, maybe it was only
75,
20%. Yeah, yeah.
And you know,
so, and you know, he continues to stick with it, and you're seeing it pay off. Now, I don't know if that's Derek Johnson or the combination of Johnson counseling and Garza, but you're right. He is the most consistent pitcher that the Brewers have right now, and but is he the guy that steps up? I think it has to be a Davies, Peralta, Nelson, or Anderson. One of those guys needs to get on a roll to just make this all legitimate. And not that a 2017 in Mark is illegitimate, but I think just for the naysayers and the haters, I think that would start turning them a little bit.
I would agree.
We're treading here toward June, and I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse here, but it's only May 13th. 2 weeks, you'll be eyeballing June, and you know it doesn't seem like the offense is going to change. They may come down a little bit, but they're not going to change that much, guys. They're not going to go from an upper crust type of offense down to the bottom.
No.
I don't believe that's going to happen. So it does, and it will rely on this pitching staff.
Well, and it looked, Tim, to talk about the offense not coming all the way down to earth, even while they were in Pittsburgh. And they scored one run in 23 consecutive innings. They were still able to hit the ball hard, which is a key sign that the team is just, when they go through one of those slumps, that it is going to be abbreviated to a point. 799-1250-414. 799-1250. Let's get in John here in Milwaukee. John, you're on the Milwaukee Admirals Baseball Postgame Show. What's good? Hello, John. No, John? Well,
no,
we got Archer in the back. So, Archer, see if John's on hold. Well, we threw him back on hold. We'll see if John's in there. But, John, you got your one chance. I hate to see you get your one chance. But, Tim, as we continue to look forward and kind of forecast through here, you brought up just trying to get to June. Coming up here this next week, you're playing the San Diego Padres, which are four games that you should be able to get relatively fat in before you have to go up.
They're on the West Coast, though, and I think a lot of teams from the East and Midwest, they do tend to struggle, and that's not just
I agree.
In baseball. I think that's in football and mm-hmm. basketball as well.
Absolutely.
I don't know what the hockey numbers indicate, but I suspect it would be somewhat similar in that the teams just struggle a little bit, and, you know, it's time to get tomorrow's win, and that's the way, and I think Craig Counsell has that mentality. I love that mentality, and I know that, you know, Sparky and I over the years have a lot of times pinpointed a section or a window of the schedule that says, well, you know what, if there is, and we never say that that's going to determine the whole shooting match, but if indeed there is a tipping point in the season, sometimes you can look at that and say, you know what, okay, that might be it, and there's some credence to that. However, I like what Council's doing, and that is winning tonight's ball game. And in this case, it'd be tomorrow afternoon's game three of the series. And trying to sweep this team and go 5-1 on the homestand. Keep in mind they took 2-3 to against the Boston Red Sox at
right.
Miller Park earlier this week, and now they take the first two of the weekend set against the Mets. I'll put the hammer down, try and win this particular game. I love that style from Craig Counsell. I could tell. You guys, could he have, over the span of these 37 games, could he have left his starter in there a little bit longer? I could name you quite a handful of games that he could have. I think he's got a gut that says he feels the game is going to turn at this point, and he'll just deal with an overworked bullpen. He will. He wants to win tonight's ball game. And you know, tonight I was surprised that Davies had a bat in his hand. I really was.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it worked out for him, and Davies drew a walk. That was probably a big part of that 8-run inning.
And I was listening to the broadcast, and that was the shock that they had on their voices when they heard that Davies was grabbing a bat in that inning to extend the lead as the Brewers get the 11-4 victory here tonight. We'll take a quick break here on the Milwaukee Admirals Baseball Postgame Show. Come back. And, Tim, I got to get your quick thoughts here as the DL'd Ryan Braun. SI came out with a list of faces of the franchise, and you might see a number 8 on that list. That's all coming up here next on the Milwaukee Admirals Baseball Postgame Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. The Scoop from the Skipper, brought to you by Bryant and Stratton College Athletics, offering athletic scholarships in 6 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com. This is the only station Brewers fans need, before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
11-4 Brewers victory as they take the series against the New York Mets in Game 2. I'm Bill Schmidt here on the Milwaukee Admirals Baseball Postgame Show, built by Blaine's Farm and Fleet on The Fan, and we are going to send it down here to manager Craig Counsell in a minute. Tim Allen on the line as he's on his way back from Madison watching the boy play some baseball. Timmy, did they get a win today or what?
They did.
This is playoff baseball, right?
Yeah, it sure is. It's a junior college. It's Madison College, the former MATC Madison. And they won their first round. They'll head down to Illinois next weekend, and hopefully, for his sake, he'll end up in Oklahoma, where they have the JC World Series, the Junior College World Series.
So that's a heck of an accomplishment.
No, that's cool.
It is. It's awesome, man. I mean, it kind of that's what they give him, is that you get to go to Oklahoma. I was thinking they're maybe going to put him in like the middle of Kansas or something.
Is there any difference? Nothing against Kansas or Oklahoma. Having been to both, no, they're fine states. But he's where he should be, and he's having a good year, and he's doing good academically. So, you know, you got to show the support, and who knows where he's going to be here to commit in just, I don't know, a month or two. So watch for him in the Northwoods League, though.
With the Green Bay Bullfrogs, correct?
Yeah, he'll be playing for the Green Bay team, full season schedule. So
tremendous.
Going to be interesting. But I think, you know, yeah, I've got my hands full with that. I've got my hands full with the Brewers baseball team, which is, as the saying goes, the beat goes on.
The bats just keep going on, too. 16 hits tonight for the Crew and 11-4 victory. Let's hear Craig Counsell after the victory.
Season was Eric Thames, but Shaw has really just been a steady force for you offensively from the get-go. Another 2-1 tonight.
We put him in that cleanup spot, and he's been, he's been really consistent. I think that's the best word for it, for sure. He's driven in runs. He's got base hits. He's played good defense for me too. And then the home run ball has definitely been there. And tonight, you know, that was a huge inning, and certainly capped it off.
You've been greatly reliant on home runs a lot, but he hit one to Kevin, but before that it was like
it was a good inning. I think we had 8 out of 9 guys, or maybe 8 out of 10 guys get on base, and it started off with a good at bat by Domingo, just getting a walk, and then some guys moving the line, and then I thought when they went to Robles, RC and Aguilar's at bat were RC had jumped right on him, and then Aggie had a really nice at bat with 2 strikes, threw him 3 straight sliders, and still hung in there and got a base hit.
Craig, did you see this coming offensively? I mean, you got balance with the lefty hitters, and you thought your younger guys, they should take a step forward. But I mean, is this sort of beyond what was drawn up?
Well, I think, you know, there's two things. I think the balance is something that we certainly really like that we accomplished. And the other thing that I think we accomplished in the offseason is that we, you know, David and the guys, we put together a good unit of position players. And I think, you know, you're seeing that is that, you know, we have a solid all-around unit, and there's a bunch of guys that can help and on different days, and that means that it doesn't have to be the same guy every day. There's enough, you know, I guess firepower for it to be different guys. And that's how you score runs ultimately. Instead of relying just on one or two guys, there's a bunch of guys that you can rely on, and guys like Aguilar or HP, you know, who I guess weren't, you know, technically in the opening day lineup, are still, you know, big contributors to this thing.
It's half holdovers and half new guys. You got, you know, Bandy, the corner infielders, and Aguilar are the new guys, and they're, but then, you know, no Braun's hurt now, but the other guys, the holders, it's been like a mix of.
Yeah, and I guess that's what I'd say is that we've you know, put together just a good unit there, and a bunch of guys are doing good things, for sure.
Exactly.
Well, it was, he's got a step to take, that's for sure. You know, I think he'd tell you that. He's still getting behind in the count a little bit. He's struggling a little bit. You know, he had some spots tonight where he got the two strikes and kind of, you know, let guys kind of off the hook, either let them back into the count or had a couple hit batters. So, you know, he got through it, and kept us in the game and got through five innings. But, you know, he's certainly not on top of it, and he's certainly got another step to go.
The thing that's been different about him, Craig, is his pitch counts are so high so quick. I think he had, 70 or 80 in the fourth inning.
Yeah, I mean, the second inning cost him there. It was I think it was about a 35 pitch inning. First inning was, you know, the pickoff in the first inning was really got him in trouble, and then he kind of cruised the rest of that inning. But the second inning got him in trouble for sure. I thought that the Plawecki at bat was, you know, at bat where he got him 0-2, made some good pitches, and then threw kind of three misfires really. I mean, the 0-2 pitch was with intent, but then the two changeups or sliders were just kind of off the plate, and then he threw missed with a fastball in the middle of the plate. So, you know, he is having to work, and that partially is from being behind in the count, and having to just grind out every hitter. He did it though. He did grind out every hitter and got us through five innings without major damage. So I give him credit for that, and you know, he ends up getting the win.
Did you just take things out because you had the opportunity to with a big score or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm at this point I'm trying to get Erickson just off his feet a little bit when I can. He's had some tightness in his legs and just soreness in his legs. So I'm just trying to get him off his feet when I can.
And the Milwaukee Brewers on the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show get an 11-4 victory. I'm Bill Schmidt in the Holt Chevrolet studios here in Hales Corners. Tim Allen is somewhere on I-94 as he's coming back from Madison watching some college baseball. And Tim, a huge victory tonight, and Craig Counsell alluded to it, being able just to get guys on base, and good things happen when you get guys on base. And you look at tomorrow's game, maybe why this game was so big to get a W was you're facing Jacob DeGrom tomorrow.
Yeah, that and you're going to have your hands full there. Mm-hmm. And maybe you're playing with house money and you just stay a little bit more loose. But, you know, a couple of things that Counts had said there. One is the balance. And I think we discussed that.
Just alluded to it.
Show tonight. That they are balanced up and down that lineup. The other thing alluded to Travis Shaw, and it's something that I've really, really been focusing on. And Travis Shaw, it really appears to me. Now, I'm going off his numbers over in Boston. in that situation. Also, the numbers here, style of play, his attitude, and, of course, his results. He looks as steady and just consistent as they get over there.
Yep.
And is he gonna light it up, Bill? Is he gonna hit 332 for a full season? Of course not. He's not gonna do that. But I don't think it's a third base position in Milwaukee here that you're gonna have to worry about for a couple of years. Now, do you want to replace him with a Lucas Ursegg or one of these higher end prospects if indeed they come to fruition? Okay, fine. You can entertain that idea, and you're in a good spot. In my mind, with Travis Shaw, and if you got someone better than Travis Shaw, okay, fine, it makes the team better. But I just really, truly believe that he is a Milwaukee Brewer.
Yep.
He just seems like a Brewer. You know, I brought up on Bill Michaels' show yesterday that, you know, it's a guy that you never really need to worry about, a guy like Jeff Cirillo. You just plug and play, and
yep.
And he's going to be – what have I been calling Travis Shaw so far this year? Steady Freddy. And he really, truly is that. It's, he'll light it up, and it looks like he's having fun this year also.
No kidding. And he alluded to it so many different times while we talked to him in spring training and early on in the season, being able to have that comfortability and that knowledge that he's going to be in there every day at third base has really helped him. And Travis Shaw, we're going to hear from him next when we go inside the Brewers clubhouse. You're listening to the Milwaukee Admirals Baseball Postgame Show. I'm Bill Schmidt. Tim Allen's on the line. He's somewhere on 94. We're hanging on here after a Brewers 11-4 win.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes postgame update as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by WeatherTech Windows and Doors. Receive 50% off qualifying installations with no money down. Visit weather-tek.com for info. This is the Milwaukee Admirals Baseball Postgame Show, built by Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Brewers win 11-4, take the series over the New York Mets as they go for Game 3 tomorrow in the sweep. Against Jacob DeGrom, it's going to be Willie Peralta on the mound for the crew. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250 if you want to get in touch. I'm Bill Schmidt in the captain's chair. Tim Allen on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Tim, I really like this seat. I don't know, you keep this thing real nice and warm for me.
That's okay. It puts us in a better spot, man. You have good personnel. It's makes for a fun show, and we're having fun this year, that's for sure.
No kidding.
With these guys doing what they're doing, and it's just it's crazy, and I'll continue to say it. So far, it hasn't gotten any steady here in the National League. Still kind of crazy. Somebody needs to cool off those Cardinals. Nice to see the Cubs losing. Nice to see the Mets in disarray. Nice to see the Giants having a snake-bitten year.
No kidding.
We got to get those Diamondbacks and Rockies backed off for a little bit. But speaking of the numbers, we went inside the box just a few last hour. But did you – I heard in Anthony's update there about Bryce Harper.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
21-plus mil.
This is getting out of control or what?
And it begs the question here, Tim, that a lot of people have been wanting the Brewers to kind of rush these guys to the big leagues. And you look, that is what the Nationals did with Bryce Harper. And granted, I don't know if Lucas Ursegg is going to be the next coming of Bryce Harper, who might be one of the best hitters of this generation. But the Nationals are forced into the situation with that Super 2 rule where they it's Super 2, right? Is that Super 2? Where now they're forced to make a decision on Bryce Harper and pay up a lot sooner than they might have had to.
I don't think it's that bad of a deal for 1 year for Bryce Harper in today's standard.
Well, right, if he's hitting 370 and being an MVP candidate, that's what you're paying Ryan Braun.
That's exactly what Brawny's getting right now, and we see where that gets the Brewers, and that's good numbers. I'm not ripping on Brawny.
Right, no kidding.
He puts up good numbers when he's in there, and obviously that's the key phrase when he's in there. But, you've got a much more balanced lineup here with the Brewers here, and it's showing.
And it's showing.
It is.
And it's showing from what they had last year where it seemingly there was no left-handed bat in that lineup consistently. 414-799-1250. You want to talk some Brewers? with myself and Tim Allen. Bruce on the Northwest side dialed that. Bruce, what's going on?
Well, what's going on is this. I've been watching the situation with the first baseman, and he's had struggles, but I think it started back in either the Monday night game or the Tuesday night game, where I don't know if you guys noticed, but he slid into the trying to catch a foul ball,
yep.
And he slid in there, and ever since he's done that, they've been taking him out early. When they get a big lead, they take him out early, and it seems like he's not 100%. And I just heard on the radio show by Mr. Consul, he just mentioned that he's had a soreness in his leg.
And that is one thing, Tim, that Eric Thames has talked a lot about is he has to work a little bit harder to make sure that he's stretched out and than a lot of other players, and maybe that is a little bit of that hamstring.
Yeah, I, Bruce, I agree, man. I did notice that with Council too, and that he said, you know, to get him off his feet when he can, and so obviously that means there's something going on there.
Right.
Bruce is pretty observant, but that's proof right there. There's a little something going on there, but you know, he's still playing, and you know, I really thought that he was set up to have a big 3-run bomb tonight, but as it turned out, you know, the games that he was winning offensively early on in the year, I mean, now it's balanced out to where now Travis Shaw goes 3-for-5 with four
right.
RBIs and a 3-run bomb, or Keon Broxton had the three-hit game, double shy of the cycle, and had four knocked in, where Thames was doing the same thing. It was just in the first portion of the season, first 20 games. Now these next 17 or so, the rest of the team is picking him up. So there's that balance we talk about.
Bruce, thanks for the call, and I want to make sure we get inside the clubhouse here, brought to you by WeatherTech Windows and Doors. Travis Shaw talked after the game, Tim, and now we'll hear those comments on the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show.
So it'd be fun betting twice in the same inning.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I've ever got two hits in the same inning, so it just says a lot about our lineup. Usually we do it in the first. Tonight we waited till the fifth, but we'll take it.
You had the big home run to Kevin, but before that there was a whole lot of great events in a row.
Yeah, there was. We've
keeping the line moving.
Yeah, besides yesterday, I feel like we've done it mostly, like you just said, just a lot of base hits, doubles and stuff. Yesterday was more homer friendly, but even when we're not hitting homers, we're still seeming to be put up some runs.
It's a really balanced offense.
It is. 1-9, any guy can do it. Domingo has three hits tonight. That's, like I said, it's a different guy. It seems like every single night. Bronny's out. We haven't missed a beat so far, so hopefully we can keep that going.
Is that surprising? I mean, not that you didn't think you could score runs, but I mean, I think it's second in the majors now in runs scored.
I thought we were going to be a pretty good offense. I don't know to this level. Like I said, I've never played here, so I can't speak for the leading the league in homers, but this is a really good place to hit, so I think that helps a little bit. But even when we go on the road, we still seem to do it.
As long as there's been baseball, the cleanest hitter shove is the driving runs you've been doing. You must be very pleased with that.
Yeah, I'm in a good spot in the order. I like hitting fourth. There seems like there's guys on base all the time, which is all you can ask for. And for me, just when there's guys in scoring position, especially the easy ones, less than two outs, those are the ones you don't want to miss. And so far, I'm doing a pretty good job of that.
Robles said, I don't think I've given up a run in over a month. What'd you see from him on
the
run?
First pitch changeup. After that, I figured he was going to come heater. I'd seen everything away all night, so I was looking away, and then it was middle in. I just was able to react and pull my hands in and get it out. For me, it's just the preparation, not change every single day, kind of take what they give me. I know sometimes after you haven't hit a homer in a while, guys start pressing, trying to go deep. For me, I'm not trying to do that this year. Just like I said, if they pitch me away, I'll take my base hit to left, and I'm trying to keep with that approach all season long so far.
Yeah, and he's been able to keep a very, very consistent approach. Travis Shaw hitting a cool 281 with a 319 on base. And Tim Allen on the line here, a 548 slugging percentage for Travis Shaw, and a lot of that have been those doubles of the opposite field, Timmy.
Yeah, those are steady numbers. And
mm-hmm.
You know, are those numbers that are going to wow somebody in L.A. or something? Yeah, maybe not. But it's just you plug him in right in the middle of that lineup. And again, as we discussed last hour, I do think that the Brewers have put together a philosophy, and it's a philosophy that we've tinkered with vocally and on several shows for many years, and that is, which philosophy works best when you're building an offense in that park, in that particular park, Miller Park? So you want the thumpers because, you know, it's conducive to the homers. Or do you want these guys to just spray the ball and you know, they're always putting the pressure on the other team? And it's pretty obvious to me. The prior GM had his one philosophy, and the new GM has his.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm not saying, Billy, I'm not saying he cracked the code at all. But maybe, you know, maybe there's something to that they get the guys to put the ball in play. I was listening to Robin Yount that was on the flag call with Uecker, and, you know, he really was super critical of a couple of things in today's baseball. One was the shift. That, heck, you did that, you know, back when he played, he'd make you pay for it. He'd just make you not shift. And we all know how you do that. You go to the thin field.
Right.
But, you know, he also said that strikeouts are okay and they're acceptable. And back when he played, they're just not. And maybe that's the next step for this baseball team. You draw a lot of walks. You get your OPS up. You get that number up. And that means deeper counts, and that's, you know, you're going to be more susceptible to a few more strikeouts. But I still think that the strikeouts got to come down. And, you know, drafting guys like Corey Ray and these types of hitters, maybe that's falling right into the pocket here of those pinball players that I always talk about.
Absolutely. He is Tim Allen. He's on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Timmy, safe travels home here, and you're in for On Deck as well as the post-game show tomorrow, correct?
Absolutely. I think the Brewers maybe put the hammer down. Now, this was a huge win. You win back-to-back series against Boston and now the Mets, and maybe you can, you know, put the hammer down and get the sweep. But, yeah, we've got the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show tomorrow at noon. And after the last pitch, you make the switch right here at Milwaukee Admirals baseball post-game show built by Blaine's Farm and Fleet. And somewhat of an abbreviated show tonight, guys. I apologize for that. But we'll make it up to you and talk some Brewers baseball extended versions. And don't forget, starting Monday, some late-night Brewer talk as the Brewers hit the road. Three straight 9-10 starts out in San Diego. Billy, going to be fun. You and I staying up late.
Yeah, no kidding. Always fun getting in here late night. Timmy, take it easy, buddy.
All right, smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
There he is, Tim Allen, for the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show. My thanks to Chuck Freeman, Bart Winkler, Anthony Mandela, and a cast of thousands along with John Archer. You've been listening to the Milwaukee Admirals baseball postgame show here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.